This podcast is brought to you by Eagle Bergman, the leading specialist in sealing technology for the industrial and energy sectors worldwide. Eagle Bergman is a joint venture between the German Freudenberg Group and the Japanese Eagle Industry Group. With more than 140 years of experience as a reliable full-service partner, Eagle Bergman is actively supporting the energy transition through innovation to reduce emissions and meet net zero targets. Our customers, including operators, equipment manufacturers, engineering firms, and EPC companies, benefit from our research and development expertise and advanced sealing solutions. We also offer consulting, engineering, and a full range of services, including training and ongoing support. For more information, please visit www.eaglebergman.com or meet us at one of the many exhibitions and events that we attend.
Welcome to the Hydrogen Bar podcast, your favorite podcast on hydrogen and fuel cells. And as you have noticed, we have an English episode in this week once again. And Johannes, we do have an English episode because we have very international stars from the hydrogen industry here today.
Yeah. Hi, Martin. It's great that we are back here together and we have two guests with us. We are very honored to have them here. And one of them you all know very well.
Yeah.
First, a very warm welcome to Colin.
Exactly. We are happy to welcome at the bar once again, Colin Bendig Daniels from Eagle Bergman. You have seen him already or you have heard him already a couple of times here in the podcast. And Johannes, today he's not alone.
He is joined by his colleague, Guillaume de Fombel. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. A very warm welcome to you both.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here again. I'm happy that I'm joined with my expert colleague this time, so you can tell you a bit more details than I can.
Yeah, as Johannes was saying, we do not want to give an update about Canada here today, but more we want to speak about your services and portfolio and aspects that your company is bringing to the hydrogen industry. And your company is called, we know that from the episode that we have published, I think in May it was, you are one of the experts regarding hydrogen in that company. Is that correct?
Well, I'm a more seal expert focusing on a new type of seal, which are kind of revolution for the sealing industry and looking forward to applications on the hydrogen field and seeing how we can help the development of good infrastructure.
That is definitely a very interesting point, basically where we can directly dive into. You said it's about sealings. It's about keeping stuff tight. When people hear hydrogen, they often say, oh, it's such a small molecule. It goes everywhere. You can't really seal it. Of course, that's one extreme. We have some pipelines where it works, but still there is the point, like, how is it when you have gaps, when you have some parts coming together, how do you seal them? And as far as I understand, you have an even more difficult area that you are focusing on when basically moving parts are involved. What is the key point about sealing hydrogen?
Yes, very valid, Johannes. Hydrogen is very small with a low viscosity and so on, which makes it one of the most challenging substances to seal on Earth. And it's easy for everyone to imagine a seal between two static parts. We can find a way to make it tight. It's more complicated if you have a rotating part, like we say rotor and stator, moving part and static part. And on a compressor or on a turbine or such machines, it's rotating with several thousands of RPM. So very fast, you can't have a contact. You need to find a way to avoid gas going too much out. And it is all the more changing as the gas is small, right? There is nothing new because hydrogen is a new field when we think of it as an energy substance, but it's been used like in the chemistry industry, like on downstream oil and gas to produce ammonia and so on for years. And we have more than 200 references of compressors sealed with hydrogen. This is not something very new, but it's still something changing if we want also to make it very well. And why we want to make it very well, to seal it very good, hydrogen is costly and it will be possibly even more costly and costlier as the need for green hydrogen increases. And when you have a single plant, you have a few machines, you have a small leakage, it's accepted. When the prices increases, and if you have a long pipeline with several machines, it's a total of a lot of leakages, and you need to optimize that to reduce at the minimum or avoid it altogether if you can. That's one thing with the type of the cost. And there is also something which we don't like with hydrogen is that it can burn very easily and it's not easy to see when it's burning. So from a safety point of view, you also want to make it very well. With the last aspect, which is an indirect impact on the global warming, which hydrogen has, which the impact is not fully clear now. It's not as bad as methane, but it's definitely more than CO2. We don't want large quantity of hydrogen escaping because then it will make the full exercise of developing a green energy then.
So when you are thinking about the projects that you are working on with your clients, can you tell us what of these three things and aspects you have just mentioned is the most important for the clients? So I suspect that at the third aspect regarding climate change is not so much in the forefront of your discussions with clients. But what I can imagine is, of course, the cost aspect of losing hydrogen unnecessarily is an important aspect. And of course, the explosion protection and fire protection aspect could be in many of the project the most important aspect. Is that correct?
Anyway, even the climate part of it, you can make it, you can monetize that.
All right.
You can also say, okay, it's not the case now, but if we compare with methane, when you emit methane, you have to pay some taxes or some ETS credits and so on, and additional aspects and risk of penalties and so on. You can see it only on the money point of view. And at the end, you will also move on that direction because the three parameters are pushing it all in the same direction, that we don't want hydrogen to go out. Well, no, we are not intended.
I think from coming from the project side of things, I think the biggest thing we've seen with projects specifically is obviously these cost impacts that may not have been foreseen before the projects had begun. I think if you're talking to any customer who wants to seal hydrogen, for example, in a pipeline or even in their production facility, if you talk about losing any of that green hydrogen, as Guillaume mentioned, which customers and companies plan to produce in the future, I think that would be detrimental to the project moving forward. So I think if you have a product like we do with the COVID EGS, where we can guarantee zero emission, which is the name of the product, that's something that would be much more attractive moving forward for these companies that are in fact trying to move large quantities of clean hydrogen along pipelines or other transportation routes. So that's, in my opinion, what I've seen from the project side of things would be probably the biggest factor. But yeah, as Guillaume mentioned, there are other factors to consider, specifically also the safety side of things, which is where obviously a zero emission seal would be advantageous.
Mm. Now, you said it's really zero emission. At the same time, Guillaume mentioned that it is tricky because you have the rotor and the stator, and basically there can't be any connection because otherwise it would not work to have a rotor going with several thousand rounds per minute. How do you do it? Because in my simple mechanical understanding, I would say if it's not touching, it's open. Especially gas like hydrogen can leak. What is the secret? Of course, the secret you probably can't tell us, but still tell us as much of the secret as you can tell us. Why does it work?
Yeah, the basic answer to your question is also valid for the traditional seals that are been used since maybe 50 years now or more, which are called dry gas seals, where you have two seal rings, one attached to the stator and one attached to the rotor, so rotating part. And those rings are moving to be very close to one another and having a gap between them, which is as small as possible. Let's say the order of magnitude of the micron. And having the gap as small as possible, then you have a very small quantity of gas, which is going through those rings. This is a common feature of the traditional dry gas seals and the new one, which Colin introduced as a COBA DGS. The traditional one, you have some gas going out and you need to collect it and then dispose. And what we do instead of getting gas out, we found a robust way that we inject very small quantity of gas. So we have no gas going out, but just a small quantity of gas going in. We use typically nitrogen, the trick.
All right. So are there any like downsides for this concept? Because what I can imagine is if you are polluting, don't get me wrong, but if you are polluting the hydrogen with nitrogen, this could be of a significant disadvantage for some applications, right?
Absolutely. But imagine you have a pipeline, say, of 800 millimeter, where you try to push the biggest quantity as possible of hydrogen, okay, with compressor, and you have a big flow. And we have a gap of 1 micron where we inject the smallest quantity possible of nitrogen. So we are just injecting a few drops in a big flow, and then it's no problem. And you can be sure that your hydrogen won't be also 100% pure hydrogen. And with that flow, it's not possible even to detect all injection. Mm-hmm.
Another point maybe, Martin, to mention is that specifically in pipeline applications, as we know, there's a lot of blended hydrogen pipeline applications with methane. Then the same breath, you could make the argument, well, that has to be separated if it's to be used in a pure form at the end location. Regardless, the amount of nitrogen that we're talking about here is so insignificant, but even if it was an issue, that would be something that could be looked at the end use location and separated at a later time.
Okay, I see.
But if you say you want to have this micron or even smaller distance, it's something that moves so fast, you probably need extremely high precision to manufacture this. And high precision in manufacturing is always expensive compared to no precision or low precision. But in the end, isn't it also this typical monetary evaluation? Is this saving me more money than, I don't know, if I just let it leak and let it go out? Are there lower risks, right?
Mm-hmm. The point on the monetary side is absolutely valid, but for a different parameter. All seal is using basically the same level of precision as a traditional seal and the same materials. So you will not have a very significant difference. But there is a difference on engineering because we have been investing a lot to develop a new code, calculation code, and 3D grooves and laser drilling and whatever. But what I mentioned also is that we inject nitrogen. If you want to inject nitrogen in a part in a pipe which is under pressure, obviously you need a higher pressure. Mm. We need high pressure nitrogen, which is a utility which is often not available on the pipeline station. This is the one thing which is clear. You have a lot of advantages and one drawback, you have this one. You want to generate some high pressure nitrogen.
Mm-hmm. What I can imagine as alternative to injecting nitrogen would be, something like Johannes has just mentioned, to let the hydrogen leak, but to try to recover the hydrogen when it has leaked. Is that a valid approach to this problem as well, or is this something that you would not recommend?
Well, this is a traditional approach. The very traditional one was just to let gas flow out. And now that people try to avoid this loss and this emission, the first direction they go to, typically, historically, because it's a technology which has been available for years, is indeed collecting and recovering. Yeah, it's sometimes called seal leakage recovery. Doing so, you need also a compressor. You need a compressor to make high pressure nitrogen, and then you need a compressor to get it from when it goes out of the leak, it is about at atmospheric pressure, and you need to bring it back to the high pressure of the pipe to bring it back inside the loop. At the end, you have a system which is not much cheaper or quite similar in price, and you have some advantages. There will always be some hydrogen going out. You can't seal 100% with that technology, in the difference to us. And yeah, that's already a reason, I think, which is interesting, speaking in favor of Cobalt EGS.
Yeah. Now, in previous times, or when I know passing by these refineries, you see always these flares that burn the gas. Isn't this also an option to do it with hydrogen? In some way, you could say it's anyway clean, not like...
That's definitely also an option. I think we have four options, and we have discussed two, and now that's the third one. In theory, you burn hydrogen, you get water, so it's perfect. That's why we develop hydrogen, because when burning in a combustion engine or whatever, then you don't get CO2, but water. Things to consider, there are multiples, but if your combustion efficiency is not very good, then you will have also hydrogen leak lost and some emissions. And then more important is that hydrogen and green hydrogen is a bit the champagne of the energy. I think you've heard that before. I say that as French guy, because It's part of my gym. Yeah. But you don't want to burn it at a point where it doesn't make sense. So if it's just burning for burning, then you try maybe to make some electricity there, but it won't be efficient and that won't be the best usage. Mm. So let's keep it high valuable thing for things where we don't have other solutions. That's one. And another thing is that Colin mentioned the blending of hydrogen with methane. If you do like 80-20%, quite typical, or 90-10, you will burn hydrogen and get water, but you will burn methane and get CO2. Mm. And I don't know if the legislation will evolve, but in Europe now it's not allowed anymore to flare methane. The routine flaring is forbidden now. All industries are working on finding solutions to avoid that. Mm. So for blending, also not so good.
Yeah. You have mentioned that there will be four solutions. So we have discussed three now. I think the fourth one would be, of course, to have no seal at all, which is not very feasible because of the thematics that you've just mentioned. But what I wanted to ask you is, one of the problems could be, correct me if I'm wrong, that, of course, the density of hydrogen is relatively low, especially when compared to gases like methane. And to transport a certain amount of energy or a certain flow, the flow speeds would need to be relatively high. Is that correct? And I think that is also one of the problems and issues. What I can imagine that, especially when we are speaking about compressors, the rotation speeds would also need to be very high.
Yes, indeed, for centrifugal compressors, where the rotation of the compressor, which is given by a motor or a turbine, is then used to compress the gas. For such a small gas, and to put it simply, you will have to, if you want to reach a high pressure ratio, you will need a very high speed. That's a common challenge for all seals of this machine type, be it the traditional dry gas seal and Cobalt-DGS, as we were comparing, because as I said, they are using the same materials and same construction principles for the most basic ones. We see a lot of requests for high-speed seals, and we're developing with putting like 17,000 RPM as the next step for us. We are already high, but don't want to go significantly higher with the developments. And we have a good roadmap for that. It's a matter of time, but it's something which can be considered. Another thing is that I mentioned pressure ratio. It's like you have a starting pressure and you want to reach a higher pressure. And if you need to get a high pressure ratio with hydrogen hard, but our customers are also studying the solutions where they are combining different compressor types. And they start with compressor which is not rotating for the first pressurization, and then to get a high flow and with a pressure ratio which is not too high, then centrifugal compressor. So there are basically two ways which are available now to manage that challenge.
Yeah, so really a fascinating topic, very special expertise that is needed. It feels to me like it's definitely not something that you can think of in an afternoon. And at the same time, it is really important, as we said, like we have these hydrogen pipelines, we have hydrogen compressor stations, we need this all in the new grids. And it is, of course, important to keep this then sealed. Is this also something that you see then as a feedback from the market, that is now a lot of demand for the applications where you really have no leakage at all? Or is currently, do companies say, yeah, basically a little bit of leakage is still fine, we have other problems to solve right now?
I can probably answer from the project side of things. Is what we've noticed specifically with respect to infrastructure is that, especially in Germany, hydrogen pipelines are starting to come into service now, either in a blended form or pure hydrogen pipelines. And for that reason specifically, we believe the Cobalt-DGS is an ideal product, because in those scenarios with pipelines, especially spanning out across multiple kilometers, like Guillaume said, you don't want to lose any portion of your or any quantity of the hydrogen that's being transported through those pipelines. In those scenarios, the customer would, up until now, like I said, we were seeing a lot more activity there, but that's where we believe the customer would benefit from the Cobalt-DGS. Yeah, up until now, obviously, we've been focusing more on the production of hydrogen and transformation into ammonia, for example. But I think in the near future is where we really believe that this will be a demand or requirement from the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one thing on complement about seal not leaking, customers are not very well informed about that yet. It's a pretty new product. The first one has been in operation, it's been less than 4 years. It will soon be 4 years. And we've manufactured just 100 pieces or so. If you compare to 100,000 compressors maybe in the world, we've just been in contact with a couple of customers. And it's not like something which has to come on the radar probably too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I understand you correctly, you are not only focusing on new compressors, which can be equipped with your sealing, but also on existing compressors, which can be adjusted and adopted. What is your impression about the infrastructure which is already existing, which of course was mostly developed, of course, for transporting natural gas? Are there any like significant hurdles and restraints for adjusting them when they should transport hydrogen in the future?
From what I've gathered from talking to various customers and looking at the market itself, the majority of the compressors that are used currently, they can continue to be used for transporting hydrogen in a blend, for example. It's mostly other components along the pipelines that may need to be switched out. But I think your question is more towards whether the product we're talking about can be implemented in this infrastructure that is to be used to transport a blend of hydrogen or pure hydrogen. And the answer to that is yes, because I mean, like Guillaume mentioned, this has been developed not just for hydrogen, but for other medium, other applications. And that's one of the things we've considered. Obviously, we wouldn't produce something and market it for hydrogen applications if it needed to be changed significantly
yeah.
for that application.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, this is really, as I said, a very fascinating topic. Very interesting what you bring there. As the time is closing in of our episode.
On us.
Do you have anything else you want to share with our listeners? Is there some place where they can get more information if they are interested, for example?
I know you guys always refer to your show notes at the end of the episode.
This, of course.
I'll let you guys do that. But obviously, we have a website. You can reach out to Guillaume or myself specifically regarding hydrogen projects or products that can be implemented in hydrogen applications. We will be attending the Hydrogen Technology Expo at the end of October. We'll have a booth there as well. Feel free to stop by if there are any questions you'd like to ask in person.
In Hamburg. Will be taking place in Hamburg, yeah.
Exactly, which will be taking place in Hamburg. Otherwise, obviously, you can get in touch to us via LinkedIn or the other channels that are available.
Yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to start referring to our show notes. But if you want to have a few links that you can use or getting in contact with Eagle Borgmann and with Guillaume and with Colin, then scroll down in your podcast player a bit and look into the show notes. We have included all of the links there. And as Colin was just saying, of course, I think the Hydrogen Technology Expo in Hamburg is also a good option for you to follow up on this. And as always, we also would like to encourage you, of course, to look at our website as well, hydrogenbar.net. If you want to find more information about the Hydrogen Bar podcast, you can also use the contact form that you will find on the website. And if you want to reach out to us through email, you can use the email address contact@hydrogenbar.de. So that is the German word for a contact. So it's spelled with a K and not with a C. So that is confusing sometimes, I know, but use the German spelling, please.
Yeah, with that, we thank you very much, Colin and Guillaume. It was really a pleasure having you here. Very interesting. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the discussion. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much from my side as well. And dear listeners, we hope you have a nice week and you have a good time and you will tune in for the next episode of the Hydrogen Bar podcast, which will be published next Wednesday. See you then. Goodbye.
Bye.